Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Heart technology that is Lilliputian. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, January 20th, Tuesday, 2026, for the second day of our medicine article for the month of January, Promising New Technology for Cardiac Patients. This new pacemaker is smaller than a grain of rice. And so this is, as I say, day two of our article. We read yesterday about this new pacemaker that is very, very small, smaller even than a grain of rice, developed by researchers at Northwestern University, just outside of Chicago in the United States. And it has been found to be effective for both animal subjects and human subjects, and it involves, there's sort of two main elements to it. One, it's very small size, and another element that we haven't really touched on yet, or at least in day one, but we will today in day two of our article. So we're going to keep that one a surprise for now. But basically what we learned yesterday was about pacemakers in general and how they work and how it's this little box, a little smaller maybe than a smartphone, that is attached to the chest of a person who's had heart surgery of some sort. And this has wires connected to it, which are then connected directly to the person's heart, to little electrodes on the heart. An electrode, a small piece of metal that through which an electric current can be passed. And the pacemaker regulates. It monitors the beat of the person's heart, and if it notices that it starts to get slow or off pace in some way, it gives a little electrical jolt through the wires to the heart to regulate the pace of the heart and to help the heart recover, to help the person recover. This could be an adult. This could be a child. In fact, we noted yesterday how newborn babies are often in need. Well, I shouldn't say often, but over a million newborn babies each year are born with heart defects that require surgery, and then a period of recovery during which time they need a pacemaker so that the heart recovers properly. So, we will read day two of our article today. We'll talk about the English. We'll talk about the ideas in the article. And of course, when I say we, I mean myself and my co-panelist, returning for her second day, Rhonda. Welcome back, Rhonda.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here. This is a fascinating article, fascinating scientific breakthrough.
Yeah, no, it really is. We were saying yesterday how Rhonda and I do not come from a science or a medical background, so we're always interested in seeing what's new in those fields. But Rhonda, just to start off, we probably owe it to our listeners to explain the reference in the little tagline that we heard just now at the top of the broadcast, where I said that we were going to talk about medical technology that was Lilliputian. Now, what did I mean by that?
Oh, thank you for letting me explain. Lilliput is the name of the country, the imaginary country that Gulliver travels to. Did everyone read The Art of English in this month's issue? Gulliver's Travels is featured, and Peter referred to the place of our excerpt.
Exactly. The place of Lilliput, where all the people are very, very small, only about 6 inches high. And so Gulliver, a normal human being, so-called, winds up there. He's shipwrecked there. And he is just like you and me, but next to the Lilliputians, he's a giant. A Lilliputian, meaning someone who lives in Lilliput. And so it's more than just a reference to that book. You will sometimes hear in English the word Lilliputian used, partly to let you know, for the speaker to let people know that he's read Gulliver's Travels, but also just to, you know, as a sort of poetic literary way of saying that something is very, very small. There's another country in Gulliver's Travels called Brobdingnagia, in which Gulliver is the one who is very, very small, and all the other people are giants. And so sometimes you'll hear people say that something was of Brobdingnagian proportions. It was extremely large, grotesquely large even. But yeah, if you haven't read the excerpt in this month's Art of English, go back after our article today to the beginning of your magazine and check out the Art of English and read that excerpt from Gulliver's Travels. But as we say today, we are reading our medicine article, Promising New Technology for Cardiac Patients. And so we will do three readings today. There's day two of the article is basically divided into these three sections, as you can see. And so we'll take each one of them in turn and read through it, talk about it, and let's go into our first reading right now.
The new pacemaker from Efimov and bioelectronics engineer John A. Rogers is designed to address the risks presented by the wires used in existing temporary pacemaker models. Instead of using wires to transmit the small electrical pulses that keep the heart on track, the new device relies on light. The patient wears a small soft device on the outside of their chest which tracks their heart rate. When their pulse drops below a certain level, the wearable is triggered to emit a tiny pulse of infrared light through the skin and tissues to the pacemaker. Inside the body, the pacemaker has a kind of light-activated on-off switch which is calibrated to give an electrical pulse whenever it's on.
Okay, so we meet in this first paragraph this man Efimov, Igor Efimov. We met him yesterday. He's one of the researchers, along with bioelectronics engineer John A. Rogers. And they are the ones who have designed the pacemaker and have publicized it. And it is designed to address the risks presented by the wires used in existing temporary pacemaker models, which is to say, you know, temporary pacemakers have, current temporary pacemakers have wires that protrude through the chest. It's just the way the machine works, the way it was designed. But when the person no longer needs the temporary pacemaker, removing those wires can cause complications. It can cause a buildup of scar tissue either on the skin of the chest or on the heart itself. And scar tissue is not necessarily bad in and of itself, but it's risky. It can create problems. So the idea of developing a pacemaker without having to have wires protrude through the skin is something that was on the minds of Rogers and Efimov. Now, it says, Rhonda, you know, just to repeat that sentence, the new pacemaker is designed to address the risks presented by the wires used in existing temporary pacemaker models. How, in fact, does it do that?
Well, instead of using wires to transmit or send the electrical pulses that keep the heart on track, the new device relies on light. I like that phrase, keep on track.
Yeah.
In this case, keep the heart on track. So that is what has to be done.
Right.
Keep the heart on track. But instead of this, the new one relies on light to keep the heart on track.
Right.
Yesterday, we talked about that. Synchronization of the heart. So keeping the heart on track, doing what it's supposed to do, just like you have to, the train has to stay on the track. So that's a good phrase here.
Right. Another phrase that kind of means to be in synchrony with something, to keep the right pace of the heart, to keep it on track, another way of saying that. And the new device uses light instead of these wires. The patient, it goes on to say in the second paragraph, the patient wears a small, soft device on the outside of their chest, which tracks the heart rate. And when their pulse, or if their pulse, drops below a certain level, the wearable is triggered to emit a tiny pulse of infrared light through the skin and tissues to the pacemaker. So just to be clear, the thing you wear, the small, soft device you wear on the outside of your chest, is not itself the pacemaker. It's not the thing that is smaller than a grain of rice. Yeah, they don't say exactly how big it is, but it's small, so it's probably not that big. But it is what is worn on the outside of the person's chest, and they call it a wearable. Interesting word there that is sort of a 21st century word, usually referring to technology that you can wear in some way. I've heard those high-tech glasses that Google and other companies are developing nowadays, where you put on glasses and they have a camera inside of them so you can record whatever you're looking at. Those are sometimes referred to as wearable because you wear it. It's technology that you wear on your body in some way. And the good word there, emit, E-M-I-T, really just another word meaning to send out, like transmit, but in this case, emit, and used particularly for the sending of gas or heat or light or sound. You wouldn't say that you emit the money that you owe to someone. You remit the money that you owe to someone, but if you just emit it, that's usually talking about something intangible like gas, heat, or light. And infrared light, of course, infrared, once a sort of special scientific term, but I think we all know that now. It's the way the remote controls work on our televisions and stuff, little infrared light through the skin and tissues to the pacemaker. Then, once inside the body, Rhonda, what happens?
The pacemaker has a kind of light-activated switch, an on and off switch, which is calibrated to give an electrical pulse whenever it's, quote, on. So calibrated means to be correctly adjusted, to check or slightly change something so that it does its job correctly. So this is a little hard for me to visualize, but somehow the pacemaker inside the body can be activated by an infrared light.
Right, right.
Instead, being emitted.
Instead of the wires.
Amazing.
See, that's the great innovation, really, of this new pacemaker, is that it does not involve, in the current pacemaker, the old, so to speak, pacemaker, the electrodes on the heart are connected by wire to the thing that the person wears on their chest. In this case, the thing the person wears on the chest is connected to the pacemaker by pure light.
And I like that phrase after the vocab word emit, which is in bold, a tiny pulse of light, tiny, like a little rhythmic, not that you hear it, but a little rhythmic
repetition. Pulse, like a single heartbeat.
Yes.
Dun, dun. And
but it's a pulse of light.
But it's of light instead of blood, right? A little dum of light just to get the notify the heart that it needs to get back on the correct pace. Okay, so that's a good literal description of what the pacemaker is, how it works. Let's go on now in our second section to consider the additional benefits of this new small light-operated pacemaker. Let's go into our second reading now.
Additional benefits. Alongside eliminating the need for wires, the light-based activation technology also allowed Rogers and Efimov to scale their prototype down significantly. The pacemaker's size and lack of wires also allow insertion to be minimally invasive. Typically, a surgeon will attach, sew, or glue it to the heart after surgery when they have direct access to the heart, Efimov explained. In cases where a patient needs temporary pacing but isn't having heart surgery, the device is small enough that it can be inserted through a small incision in the skin. Efimov's team is also working on a syringe-like device that will safely inject the pacemaker into the heart for emergency pacing, like in the wake of a heart attack.
All right. Right. So, yeah, additional benefits to the pacemaker beside the basic benefit, the sort of benefit we're taking for granted, that it helps regulate or synchronize the beat of the heart, help keep it on track. This new pacemaker has additional benefits. Begins by telling us that, reminding us rather, that it eliminates the need for wires because it operates by light, by an infrared beam instead of through electrical wires. But what additional benefit, Rhonda, does it have?
It allowed the researchers to make it smaller, to scale down their prototype significantly.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand that. Again, trying to picture this. So to scale down means to make it smaller in proportion.
Right.
So they had a prototype. What does that mean, Peter?
Right. A prototype is like a model, the first model of something you want to make. If you call it a prototype, that means it's more than just a drawing on paper. It's more than just maybe even a cardboard cutout, a simple representation mm-hmm. of the thing. A prototype is usually fully operational, whatever
okay.
it is. Like if it's a car,
okay.
you know, a prototype of a car, you would be able to drive it. But it is...
It's the first round.
It's the first round, so mm-hmm. there may still be some kinks to work out. That doesn't mean it's dangerous necessarily. It's fully operational. It does what a car should do. But if it's a prototype, it means that it is, the first of its kind.
Yes.
And from here, now let's test it. Let's put it
yes.
in various situations. Let's see if people like it before we produce, you know, thousands of copies of it in the factory and sell them in car dealerships and such like that.
I think we're getting insight into their research and development process, the
right.
way you've described that. So they realized they want to eliminate wires, but then the light-based activation idea made them see we can scale this down. This can be
right,
smaller.
Right. So it's not just about making things smaller, as cool as that can be. It was because the light-based technology allowed that.
Yes.
And in fact, it goes on to say, Rhonda, the pacemaker's size and lack of wires also allowed what?
Insertion to be minimally invasive, and that's what we all want. If you
yes.
have surgery, you don't want big cuts in your body. You want as small as minimally invasive. We often in English will say non-invasive surgery. So
right, yes.
to invade, of course, is to go into, and no one wants their body to end up with a big scar and a lot of damage. So this is a really important part of this development. It's an important idea in medicine and surgery, wanting it to be minimally invasive.
Right, right. What, have an example off the top of your head of non-invasive surgery? Because it almost sounds like a contradiction in terms.
Actually, as soon as I said non-invasive surgery, I knew you were going to ask me that question. What is it? We don't say surgery. We say a non-invasive procedure. We don't
right.
say non-invasive. You're right, Peter. You're really good at finding those places where we don't need both those words together.
Exactly.
So I meant
exactly.
to say a non-invasive procedure. You might say to your doctor, how invasive is this procedure going to be?
Right.
That would be a right or common thing to need to know when
right.
your doctor suggests them. Is this going to be very invasive?
Right.
Good
is he just going to have
the doctor's office.
Is he just going to have to go into your nose with some tweezers, or are you going to need anesthesia? You're
right.
going to have to lie out on the
are
table.
Gonna
There's
going to
be scalpels, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, good. Glad we got that cleared up. And the Efimov gentleman goes on to say in the second paragraph here that typically what usually happens is a surgeon will attach, by either sewing or gluing, the pacemaker to the heart after surgery when they have direct access to the heart, meaning while the patient is still on the table, while the surgical site, the wound is still open, that's when they will attach the pacemaker. But Efimov explained that in cases where a patient needs temporary pacing, needs a temporary pacemaker, but isn't having heart surgery, isn't going to have that opportunity, the surgeon won't have the opportunity to the surgical wound to put a pacemaker directly onto the heart, the device is small enough that what?
It can be inserted through a small incision, a small surgical cut in the skin.
Right. Because it's so small, you can have a pacemaker put on without actually having heart surgery,
mm-hmm.
Which, talk about
Amazing.
Being minimally invasive.
Yes.
Yeah. And finally says, Efimov's team is also working on a syringe-like device, a syringe, one of those, you know, what we also call a hypodermic, or the full expression is a hypodermic needle. And the thing that, you know, the needle itself is technically called a syringe. And so Efimov's team is working on a syringe-like device that will safely inject the pacemaker into the heart for emergency pacing, like in the wake of a heart attack, in the wake of, expression that means something that happens after something else had happened, in the wake of the heart attack, the patient obviously, you know, needed a pacemaker, but they are probably in too weak a state to have heart surgery, or there's, you know, there's not time for that. And so theoretically, at least, this new pacemaker is so small, or a version of it could be made that is so small that it can be injected through a hypodermic needle, a syringe, directly into the heart. And reach the patient that way, again, without the need to connect to wires on the outside of the body or anything like that, because
the device will emit a tiny pulse of infrared light.
Doesn't even use wires. Exactly.
Right. Very good. Yeah. In the wake of a heart attack, I wanted to say something about the phrase, picture a big ship or a fast boat going through the water, and the waves behind it are the wake, and often things get destroyed in the wake, right? Those waves behind a ship. So I was really struck by the power of that phrase, in the wake of a heart attack.
Yes, yes.
The destructive path behind it.
Yes, no, in the wake of, a very evocative phrase in many ways. Okay, let's go now into our final reading for today, in which we'll learn about some additional applications that this technology can have outside of simple, quote-unquote, pacemaking, cardiac pacemaking. Let's go into our third reading now.
Additional applications. After insertion, patients won't have to worry about dangerous removal surgery, given that the tiny pacemaker is made from dissolving bioabsorbable materials. In the future, Rogers and Efimov believe that their pacemaker could have applications for various heart conditions. For those with arrhythmias, for example, multiple small pacemakers could be placed around the heart to correct its rhythm. Beyond heart conditions, the researchers posit that the light-based dissolvable implant technology could be applied for nerve problems, wound treatment, and pain blocking. Currently, the tiny pacemaker is still in its testing phase. Efimov believes it could be available within the next 5 years.
Okay, so in discussing additional applications of this technology, we're reminded, actually, here at the top of something that we learned about in day one, a quality of this pacemaker. The paragraph begins, after insertion, after the pacemaker is inserted, patients won't have to worry about dangerous removal surgery. And we talked yesterday about how with traditional pacemakers, once the pacemaker is no longer needed and you have to remove those wires, scar tissue can be an issue. So, Rhonda, why won't patients have to worry now about dangerous removal surgery?
Because this tiny pacemaker can dissolve. It's made from dissolving or dissolvable bioabsorbable materials. That's a word I think they've come up with in
recent
times. That's a
21st century word, yeah. I think.
Our readers probably know when you see bio, you're talking about life. Bioabsorbable, so being able to be absorbed into living tissue. That is amazing to me.
Yes, yes. No, that's wonderful. And that, like I mentioned yesterday, was something that I learned about firsthand when my dog had surgery last summer, and the surgeon used dissolving stitching thread to heal up the wound so that we didn't have to go back to the doctor once the wound was healed to have the stitches taken out. They just harmlessly dissolve into the body. You know,
amazing.
I mean, what kind of material can just sort of be absorbed into your body with no
Without
effects?
Without making you sick.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah.
I know.
But nevertheless, it exists. So this is wonderful. And Rogers and Efimov are looking now to the future in the next line there, when they believe that their pacemaker could have applications for various heart conditions, not just need for temporary pacemaking after heart surgery or for infants, but for various heart conditions. What sort of conditions are we talking about, Rhonda?
Well, one is arrhythmia. I understand that to mean arrhythmia, irregular, it says, an alteration, a change in rhythm, either in the force of that heartbeat or the time between heartbeats, arrhythmia.
Right,
they say.
Right. You'll often see in English the letter A used to mean the negative of something or a dysfunction of something. Like if something is normal, if we put an A in front of it, it becomes abnormal.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If something is normally rhythmic and the rhythm gets lost, it becomes arrhythmic and you have an arrhythmia, basically. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Efimov and Rogers even look beyond heart conditions for the uses of this technology, and they posit that the light-based dissolvable implant technology could be applied for nerve problems, wound treatment, and pain blocking. That word posit there, P-O-S-I-T, short little word, just means to suggest that a particular idea should be accepted as a fact. And it's not strictly necessary for the author to use that word here to get across his basic point of Efimov and Rogers saying that the technology could be used in this way, could be used in that way. But that's why he uses it. The researchers posit that the light-based dissolvable implant technology could be applied for nerve problems, wound treatment, and pain blocking because they are so confident in it. Mm-hmm. They are so assured of it that they say, you know, this is not just theoretical. We should consider that this, you know, we should pursue the development of this technology for these other conditions besides heart conditions because of its small size and its use of light rather than wires.
I like that word posit. I think it's a fascinating word. I wonder if it's the idea of position. Like, I'm going to share an idea with you. I'm going to position this idea for you to seriously consider.
I
wonder
you're right.
If this idea of posit. And I think right. We say, I to posit. How would you use
you're,
it?
No,
posit
you're absolutely
that?
Right. If you posit something, that is your position.
Yes.
The position.
It's what you believe to be
true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, position can also mean a physical stance that you're in, mm-hmm. but in terms of the expression of ideas, mm-hmm. to posit something means that you are taking on this position, this view of something, this perspective on something. Finally, though, in our very last sentence there, the tiny pacemaker, we're told, is still in its testing phase. So we don't want to, regardless of what we're positing here or what Rogers and Efimov are positing, the tiny pacemaker is still in its testing phase. So we'll see how it goes. But Efimov believes it could be available within the next 5 years. So readers will want to keep watching for medical updates here at your Advanced magazine and other sources, of course. But we do thank you for joining us today and yesterday as well for these 2 days of our medicine article for the month of January. We hope it's been helpful for you. We invite you to join us again next time when we'll have another article in a different topic, a different field for you to read about and practice your English. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.